There's something the Lord would have me address today that affects not only how we believe, but how we act as well. In the past, I've talked about the so-called Burger King mentality that many Christians have. You know, you can go to Burger King and get a hamburger pretty much any way you want it, and there's no wrong way. For your way is always the right way. And if you want a conventional hamburger, well, that's fine. But if you want the meat on the outside and the bun in the middle, that's okay too. If you'd like French fries on your hamburger with pie in the center, I guess you could have that. Whatever you want, it's okay. So we think we can experience God on these terms as well. Well, I ask, can we really? Well, let's explore that today. We hear about the glory of God, the manifest power of His presence. We say, the glory is coming. Well, that's wonderful. For when God shows up, He brings all His glory and power with Him. Supernatural things happen. But where is the glory of God? Is He showing up in our church services? Because if He shows up, things happen. People are saved and healed and delivered from their oppressions and addictions. Their lives are changed forever. Now, back in the Old Testament, we're told how God operates. And funny thing, it isn't on man's terms. It's always on God's terms. I'd like to take a look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 23. It says, And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image, or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or it's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down themselves to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless which taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But in the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say to the children of Israel, You have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. Did you see anything in those verses that indicates God not in charge? Do you see anywhere that God is asking for our input, our opinion, or our permission to do anything? Well, I don't. No, He told us how to do it, how it will be, and how it will be done according to His will, not ours. So, are you still with me here? Going forward into Exodus chapter 25, I see lots of thou shalt items. Verse 22, it says, And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, and all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Now, here, I see God says three times, I will. He didn't say, as you will, I'll come when you say, I'll jump through your hoop. Here, where we seem to have a great degree of difficulty in our walk with God. Now, I'm sure we all want to see God's glory in the church services, but have you ever noticed the extent we extend our will even to that? For example, perhaps our church service begins at 9 a.m., goes to 11 a.m. That means God's welcome to move in our service, but only if He shows up when we choose, during the time we appoint. Now, have you ever given any thought to that? You know, it seems to me we've forgotten God is in charge. Wouldn't it be wonderful first just to humble ourselves before God and ask Him where and when He wants us to show up and then be there when He chooses? You know, you might respond, well, that's impossible. How can we do that? Well, if you're one of His servants and you have the Holy Spirit, you will know by the Holy Spirit what He will do, for He'll tell you. Now, that is, if you really want to know. There have been many times I've been invited to attend services at one place or another, and I've declined. I'm thinking, why? You know, wouldn't I want to be in the house of God? Well, I declined because the Lord told me it was their service and not His, that they planned it according to their own will and haven't even asked His will concerning it. So when that happens, they're up there shouting, glory is coming, the glory is coming. You know, and I'm sitting there saying, well, call me when the glory gets here, because I'm not going to waste my time playing church. If the glory isn't here, then God isn't here. You know, if God isn't here, the sick come in sick and they leave sick. And the unsaved come in, and that is if they show up at all, and they leave unsaved, and the oppressed will leave oppressed, and nothing changes. And we've all seen far too much of that, haven't we? You know, the Lord is just as weary of us playing church. He'll not intrude until we're ready to let Him deal with us according to His own will. I see all through the Gospels how Jesus told the people about His Heavenly Father's kingdom. And He demonstrated the Father's love to them by giving sight to the blind and healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and setting the captives free and even raising the dead. So we should want God to be in charge, right? Because good things happen when God's allowed to do things His way. Our attitude should be we can't wait to submit our will to God, and only then will we be able to stop shouting, the glory is coming, for the glory will be here. You know, sadly, I think church will go on much the same as it had in the past because mankind really likes to have it His way. And I found that out today. And we only have to look around at the world today to see where that's brought us. You know, we like our rituals and our schedules and our programs. But it's not a good thing to say we'll have church from such time to such time. But then again, that's when we have church, isn't it? Well, when's the Lord going to get to have church? It'll be when He's in charge. Even in things as simple as the Ten Commandments, we balk at doing things His way. How much more so in other things? Oh, the Lord God's almighty. And if He chooses to show up and take over a service, believe me, things are going to get done differently. And I personally wish He would. But the fear of the Lord's pretty much absent today, wouldn't you say? Even early on in the book of Acts, we see how God had already begun to disrespect the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to turn to Acts chapter 4, and we'll pick up in verse 33 here. And I'm going to read into Acts chapter 5 as well. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles, was named Barnabas, which is by being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. In Acts chapter 5, here, starting verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear come upon all the church and as many as heard these things. You know, maybe we need to see some of these things happen in church today. Wake people up that God is still in charge. You know, we hear about the grace and we hear about the mercy of God. And we live in a period of grace. But back in the Old Testament, even like with the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God says, thou shalt not lie with man as with woman, and they persisted in doing it, and God destroyed the place. This is the same God of the New Testament. Even though in the New Testament, when Christ Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins, folks, we're still dealing with the same God of the Old Covenant here into the New Covenant. And very early on, right soon after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was given to the believers, God showed us He is in charge. And because of that, we need to have the fear of God. I'd like to go over in Psalms 103. I want to pick up verse 9 and read a few verses for you here. That says, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. You see, you've got to understand something here. God knows who are His and who are not. There is such a lack of the fear of God in the body of Christ today. You know, we want to run church services our way. Oh, it's just like the old Burger King mentality I was talking about. We want it our way. When was the last time that we in church, instead of dismissing, just got quiet before the Lord and waited on Him? And waited on Him to tell us when we could go home, instead of us telling Him where and when He would show up and jump through hoops for us. You see, God is Almighty God. It's like we're using Him for a sugar daddy. We want to be acting like God is a genie in the bottle. Oh, we want God to come and meet our needs. He wants us blessed, and we know it. We want to be blessed. But we're trying to do that on our terms instead of God's. I'd like to go over here in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And I'm going to pick up in, verse 22. And it says, Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt also be cut off. You know, you see that goodness if you continue. You can start off with God and just kind of lose your fear of Him, lose your respect of Him, and not continue with Him. I believe in the large part that's what's happened in the last 2,000 years, but yet even in the early church, through Ananias and Sapphira, we're seeing that the fear of God was already taking a hike. We need that fear of God to come back in this church, because things are not going to get any better in this world until the fear of God comes upon these people and we start cleaning our act up and doing what God says. Our nation is in a mess because we have lost the fear of God and not kept His laws, His commandments. Now, I'm not getting into legalism here. I'm talking about Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, what are we doing here? Are we telling Him He's in charge and we're obeying Him? Or we're saying we're in charge and we'll do it our way? So, think about that today. Are you living under the Burger King mentality, thinking you can have God your way? Or are you ready to totally and completely submit unto God and say, Lord, I've tried it my way and it's not working. I'm tired of going to church and playing church and not seeing people healed. I'm tired of going to church and seeing people come in hurting and unsaved and leaving the same way. My friends, this is not about us. This is all about the people out there who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's up to us in the body of Christ to put God back on the throne again where He rightfully belongs. Oh, He's already on the throne. He just hasn't been on the throne to us. At least our actions haven't shown that to be the case. Because we've been too busy doing things our way, the Burger King way. From now on, let's do what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm going to turn there. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people... Now, that's not talking about the unsaved and the heathens. He says, if my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. But it depends on what we're willing to do. You see, we have to find out who's in charge here. Well, I know who's in charge. God's in charge. But, you know, our flesh wants to be in charge. We've got a battle going on here for who's in charge, folks. And it's time that we sort it out and settle it right now today. If God's people will humble themselves and pray and seek His face, turn from their wickedness, turn from their selfishness, turn from their sin, God says He'll hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sins and will heal our land. So what's the first step? We have to decide right now. God is in charge, no longer us. We do that, things are going to get better. If we don't do that, things are going to just keep getting worse and worse and worse. And folks, we don't want that. So let's put God in charge.